Welcome to another edition of In Focus. My name is Bob Perot. Very pleased to have with us on Wednesday, as she is every single week, Dr. Lena Lee, the Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville and Lanark District Health Unit. Dr. Lee, welcome.
Hi, everyone.
And we're welcoming back Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector. It's been a while, Kim. It's good to have you back.
Thanks, Bob.
We are going to be talking about water on a couple of different fronts. And we'll start with you today, Dr. Lee. Today is World Water Day. Many people may not have known that, but what is the health unit doing to mark World Water Day?
Well, so we are promoting well water safety and raising awareness of local seasonal flooding on this particular well water day, or on this particular World Water Day. And water is so much a part of all different aspects of our lives. So there's a lot of things that we could talk about. This year, though, because of the weather getting milder, that's one of the things that we wanted to focus on was water safety, localized flooding.
I think it's a question that, you know, bears asking, and a lot of people do know the answer to it, but sometimes I don't think we think about it in every aspect. And that is, why is water important to public health? It seems obvious, but there's some things to think about here, doctor.
Yeah, so there's a number of things. First of all, water is such a part of health. And so we could be talking about, for example, drinking water and what type of liquids that people drink. We could be talking about recreational water and what it means to have swimming safety, for example. But today, what we're going to talk about is the safety of consuming water, and then also the safety of maintaining water systems. So really, we have water used for drinking, for other domestic use, food production, and recreational purposes. And so much of safe water is a core part of the work of health units in protecting health in our communities. In terms of safe water, what we're going to talk about today, we do have two broad categories of water contamination. So that's infectious and chemical. In terms of infectious causes, they're mostly bacteria, though sometimes we do have viruses and protozoa as well, and these can cause severe health effects. So that includes diarrhea, kidney problems for young children, for older adults, and those with certain health conditions. You can have infections that are quite serious and can land you in hospital and have long-term health effects. And so these are contaminants, these infectious causes can be removed by boiling water for the most part. On the other hand, we have chemical contaminants, and these are things like lead, arsenic, pesticides in our region. Some people are very familiar with things like PFAS. And these contaminants can really harm people's health if the levels are too high. But sometimes we do find low levels of these contaminants that are not necessarily a concern for health, but are important to monitor. And these contaminants can be removed by filtering water. So for example, boiling water doesn't always remove these contaminants, and so filtration is the primary method.
One of the big questions that people often have, and it's not necessarily that, you know, they wonder if it happens, they wonder how it happens, right? And the question is, how is water protected against these contaminants? Because, you know, when you turn on your tap, you want to know that what's coming out there is safe to consume.
Yeah, so there's a lot of ways in which water is protected. So I'll separate it into private well water systems, which I won't get too much into, but Kim will talk a little bit more about that. But we do have a lot of people in our region on municipal water. And so for those people, the municipalities are really controlling water safety and quality. And these are based on provincial legislation. And there's actually quite a bit that goes into it. So we have, for example, source water protection. So that's ensuring that the water that the municipality draws from, whether it's municipal wells or the St. Lawrence or other water systems, are protected from contaminants. So that's preventing, for example, agricultural runoff and pesticides and all of those things from contaminating the water. The next level is water treatment. So that's Certain interventions that are done to kill pathogens and remove chemical contaminants. So that might be, for example, filtration systems. There's the use of chlorine. There's use of a number of systems that would treat the water and remove contaminants. And then the last step, broadly speaking, is the maintenance of the distribution systems. So that's water towels, pipes that get to people's homes, etc. And that's really to prevent the harmful contaminants from getting into the water after it's been treated. And the health unit gets involved in a number of situations. So because this is municipal, it's the municipality that really is the focus of a lot of that work. If there's a test result that shows something wrong with the water, sometimes the health unit will get involved there. If there's an event like a storm or the spring melt, that we're, anticipating in the nearest future, that would affect the municipalities. A new municipality's ability to treat the water sometimes, and so the health unit might get involved that way. And then for a small set of rural wells that are called small drinking water systems, the health unit actually does the inspection, and we're the ones who make sure that the water treatment is working, that there isn't significant bacterial contamination for those water systems. And these small drinking water systems are water sources that are not connected to the municipal system. And then also they serve the public, so they're not privately owned wells, but they're wells that are, for example, serving campsites or restaurants or recreational facilities, places where the public would go. And we need to make sure that when people are using that water, that it is protected against bacterial contaminants. So we and the municipalities really work a lot with the Ministry of the Environment, Conservation and Parks provincially as well. So there's a number of entities, sort of a network of organizations that are involved in keeping water safe.
Thank you very much for that, Doctor. We'll bring Kim into the conversation now here. We are a few days into spring, and we know that this is a great time to start thinking about water in different ways, right?
Yeah, for sure. So with the spring comes, heavier rains and spring melts. So it is, if you are a rural citizen and you do have a private well, now is a really great time to have your well water tested. And don't forget that bacterial water testing is free through the health unit. And we have a lot of convenient locations throughout our area where people can pick up and drop off water sample bottles. And we always recommend that, you do it, you test your water at least 3 times a year. But if you have a heavy rain or a snow melt, that's a pretty good cue that you might want to test your water. So it's at least 3 times a year, but because it's a free service, feel free to test more often than that. So next week, we are supposed to get some nasty weather over the next few days. So maybe later next week would be a great time to actually test your water. So runoff from heavy rains may affect the safety of your water. Bacteria in your well. If there is bacteria in your well, you may not t taste it, you may not see it, but it can still be there. So the only way you'll really know if there is bacteria in your water is by testing your well water. And we want to do that in order to keep our family and even our pets and our farm animals safe. It is the owner's of the well, it's their responsibility to make sure that their own water is safe. And again, they can do that by testing their water through our health unit. We actually send it off to the public health labs. We have one in Kingston and one in Ottawa. So we're kind of the courier service and the drop-off point, if you will, for public testing. And the public health units and the public health labs can only test for bacteria. If somebody wanted a more extensive test, so maybe they're looking for minerals or hardness or even chemicals, they would have to go through a private lab. We do have a list of private labs on our drinking water webpage, so they could check that out to see what's available in our area. If there is a problem with your well water and you just would like to talk to somebody about it, you could give our health unit a call. We do have public health inspectors on phone lines Monday to Friday, 8:30 to 4:30, and we can help troubleshoot and walk you through, some corrective actions that you may want to take. And of course, our website as well. We have lots of great advice on our drinking water page for private well owners that can help manage their abnormal results.
We've seen so much snow over the course of the winter here, Dr. Lee, and we are watching the situation very closely when it comes to this spring melt that we have been expecting. What about flooding concerns in the Lanark, Leeds, Grenville area? What can you tell us about this from the health unit perspective?
Yeah, so certainly we were talking about spring and spring melts, and it does bring the risk of flooding, and there's localized flooding for some properties. I think, oftentimes owners are familiar with where on their property or if their property is prone to flooding. And so I think there's oftentimes some preparation that people are already doing this time of year. So we do advise that people monitor the weather and take the warnings seriously. And oftentimes the local conservation authority for where you are in your area will have information on their website about localized flooding risks, and that could be a way for people to monitor, when and where they might need to have those preparations and corrective actions in anticipation for heavy rains or melting. And really, the flood water and water ponding can be a risk around wells and septic systems as well. I know lots of people are on septic who also have wells, and these things can affect the safety of the drinking water and also how your septic system works. And so the water can soak into the ground and cause a number of issues, and that's an important thing for people to consider. And then the other important thing for people to consider is, again, testing for the well water, right? So before the flooding comes, being prepared, and then after flooding, thinking about the quality of your water, or thinking about safety and doing some testing, which we just talked about.
So Kim, I'm going to hit you with a few quick questions here now. Let's sort of flash forward to well, we know that there will be flooding in the area. There is every single year. It can be widespread, it can be localized. There are certain areas that just get hit every year. So people who do have wells, if they are affected by flooding, what are they doing?
Yeah, if you do think that your well's been affected by flooding, we would suggest that you don't drink the water. You can still use the water, so you could boil the water at a minute for a rolling boil, and you'd want to use that for consumption. So if you're making fruit or juice, or washing off fruits and vegetables, making ice cubes, things like that, brushing your teeth, you'd want to boil the water first, or you could use an alternate source that you know is safe. And then, of course, have your well water tested for bacteria.
Now, what tips do you have to prepare in the event of a flood-related emergency?
Yeah, so a lot of the flooding tends to be more localized. So take a look at your own property. Are there things that you can do around your property to minimize flood waters from affecting your well or even getting into your home? So you want to make sure that your drainage ditches are free and clear so that the water can appropriately run away from your property. Label the shutoff valves and the direction to turn the gas off, to turn the water off, to turn the power off if you need to. And if you have to leave your home because of rising waters, make sure that the power and gas is off. Make sure that you're maintaining your home to keep the flood water out. So is your sub pump working? Do you have cracks in your foundation that could have been fixed to prevent water from entering your home? And then move items off the floor and into higher areas of your home, just to make sure that they don't get wet. Obviously, mold is also a concern with flood water. And then make sure that you keep your chemicals, cleaners, if you have gas cans, store them in a way so that they don't tip over, they don't spill, so that they're not contaminating any flood water, which in turn could possibly contaminate the environment.
Now that's a great look at what to do to prepare your home. But now let's talk a little bit about to prepare yourself and your family. I know that you have tips like having extra supplies of water and food available, and along those lines, other emergency preparedness tips that we've talked about in the past.
Yeah, that's right. So, this time of year we're concerned about flooding, but we're also getting into the time of year where we could see more severe storms as well. So it's always important to have our homes and ourselves prepared for any type of emergency. So do have an extra supply of water. Now, don't forget, if our electricity is out, our taps may not necessarily be working. So having some bottled water around for that purpose is a good thing. And then have food available as well. And remember, if you don't have electricity, you still need to cook that food, so or use that food. So make sure that some of the food that you do have doesn't necessarily require cooking. And then, of course, if you are using something such as a barbecue, that you're using it outdoors and not indoors. Have your car filled up and ready to go if necessary. Have a supply of fuel for generators and for pumps. It's really important to keep that sub pump going during a time of a flood to hopefully help keep the water out of your home. Again, store your fuel in a manner that's not going to contaminate the flood water or even just the environment indoors or outdoors. And then always have your emergency kit stocked and ready to go. So don't forget to include important documents, money, medication, things like that. Pet food is another thing to have in your emergency preparedness kit as well. And we have lots of tips on our website, so people can check out our emergency preparedness webpage at healthunit.org.
All right. Now, we touched on this a little bit. We talked about the septic system, but you had just a couple more tips that you wanted to make sure that people adhere to should a flood hit them.
Yeah, so if you do have flooding on your property and it is over your septic system, really make sure that you're limiting the use of water that's going into that septic system, because don't forget, it's going to have a hard time functioning properly with so much water around and so much saturation. So you really want to limit your use by taking a quick shower, have a quick shower rather than a bath. Avoid using the dishwasher, avoid using the washing machine if you can until that flood water recedes. The other thing is you don't want to pump out your septic tank with so much saturation in the ground. Pumping out your septic tank can actually cause it to float from the high water levels. So if the septic tank is empty after you've pumped it, that's when it will actually float and could cause some damage to the tank and also to the connecting plumbing to the system. So properly maintaining your septic system can really also prevent groundwater and well water safety, or protect, I should say. I think I said prevent, but I meant protect your well water safety as well. So be sure that you're maintaining and caring for your septic system.
Excellent. Some great tips there. And Dr. Lee, the Health Unit, of course, has a wonderful website. But information is also available to those who maybe don't use the web. They can call in, and also it's available on social media as well.
Yeah, so we have healthunit.org, which is a handy, catchy, memorable website for people to go to. Our phone number is 1-800-660-5853. We're also on Facebook, we're on Twitter, we're on Instagram. There's a lot of different ways that people can follow us and or get in touch so that we can have that conversation about safe water.
And I really, really suggest that people go and follow those socials, no matter which one you're on. Just go and follow them, because it's really cool to see something just pop up in your feed that you may not even think of, as a parent. And all of a sudden you see something about whether it be children's vaccinations or something that's coming up for kids that is being shared by the health unit. You see information like this on flooding and so on. And it's just, you may be just scrolling through looking to see, the latest duck face pictures that your friends are posting. And then next thing you know, you're finding a great tip, something you just didn't really think of. So I strongly suggest people go and follow all of those. And I would say thank you again to both of you for being here today.
Great.
Thanks very much.
Our guest today on In Focus, Dr. Lena Lee, Medical Officer of Health with the Leeds, Grenville, and Lanark District Health Unit, and also Kim McCann, Senior Public Health Inspector with the Health Unit as well. We've been talking all things water. Thanks so much for listening. I'm Bob Perot. Have a wonderful afternoon.